This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. San Antonio City employees are getting a raise, or at least the ones that were making below $13 an hour, on the same day that the Service Employee International Union, the SEIU, which is the union for the civilian workers for the city of San Antonio, they were scheduled to launch a campaign to push the city to raise the pay to $15 an hour. On that same day, city officials proposed raising the hourly wage to $13 an hour. COPS Metro Alliance, you know them, they've been active in San Antonio for a long time while working for the working man. They have been trying to get the wages lifted to this rate for more than a year for local governments, and the city was the big holdout. Now they are on board. So what does this rate of pay mean for the city workers? Will this be good for the overall economy? What about city operations? Give us a call. We want to hear from you. The number is 210-614-8980, 614-8980. Email us at thesource at tpr.org and tweet us at tprsource. We're joined with Elsa Caballero. She's the president of SEIU Texas, and Mike Phillips, spokesperson for COPS Metro Alliance. Welcome to The Source, both of y'all.
Thanks, Dave, for having us here.
So, Elsa, let me ask you, what does this mean, this pay raise mean for the workers for San Antonio?
I think it means that, you know, it gives workers and their families an ability to be able to make changes in the way that their lives are run. They're able to invest and taking care of their kids, buying the things that they need is a huge, I think it's a huge gain for this worker.
About how many workers will benefit from that?
We know that it's going to be around 3,000 workers who are going to see a benefit to this. And, you know, it's about 3,000 workers who would see a change in the way that they live their lives.
So about 3,000 workers in San Antonio are going to be making about, what, an extra $3,000 a year?
Yeah, it's right now there are about 1,124, I think it's the
1,147,
I'm sorry, that they're making. So it's, you know, raising them to $13 an hour, but you know, obviously, we feel that that's a step in the right direction. But as you mentioned earlier, what we've been meeting and what we're talking to city management about is raising them to the $15 an hour, which a lot of other cities around the country are doing.
Okay, so we'll get to that. We'll talk about what your objectives will be. Obviously, this is good, but you want more, right?
That's great, yeah.
Okay, all right. So let me ask you, Mike, over at COPS Metro Alliance, what have y'all been trying to achieve?
Well, we've got a comprehensive strategy that we've worked for years, focused on job training and on wages. And we start with the public sector. We did a living wage campaign in the 90s where we went to the public sector and had them raise their wages up, and that's how we got at 1147. But now what we're focused on is to try to get it up to $15 an hour over the next 3 years, because at that $15 an hour, the workers would be at 200% of poverty and would not have to qualify for food stamps. It's kind of a moral thing for us. We want to make sure that our tax money isn't being used to hold people in poverty. And so we want to get them out of poverty, not having to be qualifying for food stamps, and it takes a wage now of $15 to do that. So this is just phase one to get them to 13. We'll also continue working with job training so that we can work with the local business community to make sure that they have the workers from the local economy. And so we will send folks back to community college through Project Quest to fill those high-paying jobs that are available in our community.
I know that COPS Metro Alliance tries to avoid city politics. You do not do endorsements, but you interview candidates in the process and you inform your voters about the positions that candidates take. And so in the last mayoral election, Ivy Taylor says she was not in favor of this living wage campaign that you're under right now, right?
Yeah, but I think the majority of the council is probably in favor of it. And I think they've been talking with her, and along with her, I think they've agreed that this is a good strategy moving forward.
So that's your feeling? That's where this is coming from, not from the city manager's office, not from the mayor's office, but from the majority of the council?
Yeah, I think a majority of the council we've been working with over the past year, meeting with them about raising the wages, you know, and we've been all along calling it a three-year a three-year strategy. So we want to be fiscally responsible and take a fiscally responsible approach so that we can phase it in over 3 years and get to that fight for 15 eventually.
So, Elsa Over, you're the president of SEIU Texas for the entire state. What does this mean for San Antonio in comparison to other cities?
The $13 an hour?
Yeah.
I think that for San Antonio, what it means is that, you know, they are investing in workers making a better wage.
But is this about where other cities are? Is San Antonio out front? Are we following the trend? Or are we way behind?
I think that as a whole, San Antonio is a little ahead of some of the other cities. You know, I was in El Paso last week. The workers there are still making below $10 an hour. But the idea here, right, is raising, having San Antonio lead the way, take a step in the right direction, which they are, and I really applaud them for even taking the move to $13 an hour, because it's going to impact 3,000 workers, and it's going to help the San Antonio's economy.
Does this also include subcontractors for the city of San Antonio?
Not to our understanding. This is only includes the direct employees of the city.
Because when the city hires, you see somebody like mowing the grass at a park or something, is that a city employee or is that someone that was contracted to do that by the city?
There is a mix of both. I think that in some cases they have people who are directly hired by the city, but there's also a whole lot of subcontract work being done by the city. And, you know, I couldn't even tell you how many of those jobs are right now subcontracted. I don't have that number with me.
When we were talking with Judge Wolf, and we got the county to do the same living wage up to $13 an hour, and then he agreed to work with us this year to look at those contracted jobs that are subcontracted out. He told us a story about asking the person that collects his garbage from his garbage can how much they were making, and was shocked that they were only making $9 an hour, and they'd been on the job for 5 years. So we're going to look at those contracted out jobs this year, both with the county and with the city. Right. And try to get them included.
What we do know, though, is that, you know, the campaign that we're taking on, similar to what Cops Metro is talking about, is that it's not just about the city employees. I think we're starting to have the conversation about city employees raising their standards, but we know that this can only help to have conversations about what's really happening in all of San Antonio, which is that we still have many people who are making below poverty wages and need to be raised, their wages need to be raised as well in order to be able to have San Antonio work for everyone, and making sure that they're able to also benefit from this.
All right, we're going to continue our conversation. Our phone lines are open. We invite you to chime in. We did get some messages online. Bob said that this is more money that he gets at his job. He's not happy about that. And he says that this could cause a backlash from people not working for the city who make less but pay a lot of taxes. What do we say to those people? React to Bob. Call in. The number is 210-614-8980. This is The Source on KSTX. This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about the recently announced pay raise that many San Antonio city employees will be getting. They're going to raise the basement for the city employees to $13 an hour. Still, there is a campaign to raise it up to $15 an hour. Cops Metro Alliance has been behind trying to raise the rate for quite a while, and this could be a big victory for them and could put some wind in their sails as they try to get more improvements for city workers. We got some comments on our Facebook page about this. Mariah says $13 an hour is a good starting pay rate. Experienced, loyal workers deserve more. Frank says San Antonio is always trying to nickel and dime people less than the national average. And Aaron said on our Facebook accounts, that needs to be everyone, not just municipal workers. $13 is barely a living wage in this day and age, and it'll be a step up out of poverty for so many San Antonians. Let's go to the phone lines. The number is 210-614-8980. If you want to call in and tell us what you think, Tim has called in. Hey, Tim, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Good.
I have a comment on Bob's comment about being upset that other people got a raise. And it's people like Bob that actually cause a problem around here. why be upset that other people got a raise and you didn't, and try to drag them down instead of working to get yourself a raise as well?
All right, Tim, thanks for your call. I appreciate that. So do you want to react to that? You know, Mike Phillips, spokesperson for COPS Metro Alliance.
Well, we see the wage issue as a moral issue around the dignity of work, and we would want everyone to have a dignified working conditions and a dignified pay. I think that's where our churches and schools and unions are coming from, is we want everybody to share in the prosperity of this economy.
So, Mike, you've been working with other local government entities like the county, school districts, and where are we with them on this?
We're about to approach the hospital district. There's a lot of workers there that could really use this $13 an hour, and they're being paid less than that. They're more at like around $11.47. So we'll be going to them next. The other part of the new change is that the tax abatement guidelines for both the county and the city will change, so that anybody getting a tax abatement, any business getting a tax abatement from the city, will now be required to pay that new $13 an hour wage. So it will touch on the private sector a little bit.
So that means if a company wants to come into San Antonio and they want a cat food factory or whatever, and the city says, yeah, we will not charge you property taxes as a way to lure them in and give them a nice place to work. And then, so they're going to have to abide by this as well.
They will.
Okay. All right. So let's get another caller on the air. Nestor is on here. Nestor, hi. Welcome to The Source.
Hello. Well, my only comment was, I don't believe that minimum wage is supposed to be living wage. I agree that we're supposed to treat our, you know, the city employees, we're supposed to treat them good, and, you know, they should get good benefits. But I don't believe that minimum wage should be raised, because then it would just bring, you know, whenever you get out of high school, you start off at a certain rate, and that's not supposed to be the wage that you're going to live off all your life. You know what I mean? So it's like, if you don't have a starting point and we keep raising that starting point, people aren't going to want to work hard to keep helping and to keep innovating, to get educated and stuff like that.
Okay.
So that's my only comment.
Nestor, thanks for calling. I appreciate that comment. So let me ask you about that, Elsa Caballero, president of the SEIU Texas.
So I would say, look, $13, $15, it's not going to make anybody rich. Right. As a matter of fact, I think anybody even coming out of high school who's already having to take care of a family or think about going to school, making $7.25, which is the minimum wage, does not allow them to be able to do just the bare minimum of, not even the minimum of what they have to do. What we're talking about is raising the bottom so that everybody else that's can also go up. We know that what we are currently making does not work. We know that the majority of people in San Antonio are still living in poverty wages. So we're talking about city employees today, but it's not just about city employees. It's about how do we raise wages for everyone in the city of San Antonio so that they can afford to just get the bare minimum. Nobody here is talking about, you know, getting rich on this.
Let me fold in Harry Holzer. He is professor of economics at Georgetown University and non-resident senior fellow at the Brookings Institute, and he's an expert in this area. So, Harry, are you there?
I am.
All right. So what is your, I'm sure you just heard the comments that we just had from Elsa about the need for higher wages and the impact from that. What's your take on that?
Well, I have a mixed view on this. I have supported and continue to support what I would call modest or moderate increases in the minimum wage, going up to, let's say, something in the $8 to $10 an hour range. And if they want to raise city employees to $13 an hour, I don't have a big problem with that either, because, again, it affects so few people. You still want to ask the question of, where does the extra money come from? Is it from the taxpayer, and is it from other municipal services? And but that's likely fine. I really do start to worry about raising minimum wages for everybody above the kind of $9-$10 an hour range, you know, and going up to $13. You know, it's a natural thing to say that when you force the price of something to go up, people usually buy less of it. If you force the wage, which is the price of labor, employers are going to cut back on their use of that labor. Now, there's been hundreds of studies by economists on this. And again, what they find is if the minimum wage increases are quite moderate, you know, $8, $9, $10 an hour, you know, those employment losses are pretty small. But when they get really big, $13 an hour, $15 an hour, I think it's much more of a concern. Those are increases that could well force employers to go somewhere else. There's a lot of people whom employers aren't going to want to hire at that wage. The teenager, and actually Nestor made this point on his call-in, you know, very young people coming out of high school or part-time workers, very unskilled adults. It's going to make it a lot harder for them to get jobs. And I would point out one other thing about all these comments on the living wage and what it takes to live on. The vast, vast majority of people earning a minimum wage are not single adults trying to support a whole household. Most minimum wage, there are some people in that category, but most minimum wage earners are young people, students, either in high school or in college. They're often second earners and third earners working part-time while someone else is the primary breadwinner. That's the reality. This does not target very well if you're looking to try to help low-income workers. It still might be worth doing, but let's not kid ourselves that somehow this is going to lift an enormous number of people above poverty. It's not, and there are other approaches that are better targeted to the low-income population.
I'll ask you about those other approaches in just a second, but let me get some input from Elsa on that,
so
particularly about who is a minimum wage worker.
So here's what I would say. First of all, on the comment about not knowing how much it's going to cost the city, we know that when we're asking the city to raise workers to $15 an hour, it would cost the city about $7.2 million, which we know that they have because we've been looking at the budget, and we know that the city has actually been over-budgeting for about $48 million a year on an average, so we know that they've actually had a surplus. So this raise is not by any means something that the city could not do. So that would be one thing. We want it to be fiscally
balanced. Yeah, but the city can do it, but do they have to do it? I mean, obviously they don't have any shortage of people who will apply for jobs for the city of San Antonio. They get thousands of applications every month for these very same jobs that pay so poorly.
That's right. I agree on that. Because people are trying to find jobs to be able to take care of their family. I'm not saying that that's not the case. But what I am saying is that if the city does this, it's going to continue to help the economy. People are going to be able to buy more things. They're going to be able to not have to make decisions whether they buy food or they go to the doctor.
The question is, does the city exist in order to provide services and take taxpayer money and spend them as wisely as possible, or does the city exist as a social program to lift people out of poverty?
I think that the city has a responsibility to make sure that the people who work here have the ability to work and be able to take care of their families, to make sure that they lead by creating good jobs, because other entities are going to look at them and say, this is what the city pays. They're leading the way. We want to be able to do that. And I wanted to make another comment about, you know, who is actually doing this work. You asked me that first. I would say that across the country, we found that this idea that only students are working for minimum wage is not true. We've met hundreds and thousands of people who are having to work one, two, or three jobs because they're making minimum wage and they're taking care of a family member and they're the main breadwinner of their family. So this is why the Fight for 15 message has resonated across the country. And this is why you see more and more cities starting to join in that movement and raising wages for workers.
Harry Holzer over at Georgetown University, what's a better way to lift people out of poverty? You say raising the minimum wage doesn't do it.
Well, again, I want to be clear. I actually didn't say what Elsa quoted me as saying. I never said that all the people earning the minimum are students. About a third of them are students. And another third of them are people who are second or third earners in other families. And yes, a quarter to a third are single adults and low-income families. But there are other approaches. And like I said, I don't have a problem with raising the minimum into the sort of $9 or $10 an hour range. But the other ways that target better, number one, are to increase things like the earned income tax credit, which is much more efficiently targeting low-income workers. None of the money goes to people middle class or above middle class people when you do that. Number two, I like paid leave programs for workers as long as they're funded. I don't generally support paid leave just by mandating that employers do this, but having, you know, there's several states that have allocated part of their payroll tax to pay for paid leave. I think that's the right way to do it. Education and training, apprenticeships, all kinds of programs like that at community colleges.
Well, like Project Quest, which is something else that the COPS Metro is very much aligned with.
It's like the second part of our strategy.
It's a good program, and I support it.
So, but let me ask you, though, Harry Hulzer, about the strategy that they're taking here. Approach the city, approach other local governments, raise the wage, look for build momentum to create some social pressure to bring it up, because obviously it's not going to be coming from the state or from the Washington, D.C., and look for economic benefit. Will there be economic benefit?
You know, I think there could be mixed benefits. And again, if you're talking about the city of San Antonio or even the metropolitan area, it might raise purchasing power among some people, and that's good for the local demand for goods and services, but it might have negative effects too. I mean, if you're an employer and a lot of your costs come out of your labor, and you see minimum wages in the city or metro area of San Antonio $13 to $15 an hour, and yet surrounding areas are still paying $7.25, what are you going to do? You know, I think odds are you're going to see a lot of those employers, maybe not a lot in the beginning, but eventually they're going to start trickling more and more into those other lower wage areas. And that's why I always prefer a moderate federal increase to really, really large state and local, and especially the local increases that I worry about the most, where it's not that hard to cross a municipal border and to go from $15 an hour back to $7.25, you're creating a lot of incentives for employers to do that.
All right, Harry Hulzer is a professor of economics at Georgetown University, and also with us, Elsa Caballero, president of SEIU Texas, the Union for Civil Workers here in San Antonio. Mike Phillips, spokesperson for COPS Metro Alliance. When we come back from the NPR News Break, we're going to talk about Ken Paxton, attorney general for Texas, indicted. Stay tuned.